Good afternoon. We're back, win by two, and we have another exciting episode. I mean, okay, I ought to talk about the Sweet 16. March is finishing up, but it's been so much fun. Men's and women's side. The men, all the one seeds still alive. In the women, two regions, the 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds all advanced to the Sweet 16. A lot of good basketball wherever you look. We have some interesting matchups, but UConn still's looking great. Just for some perspective, Spencer Porter on win by two. UConn, eight straight NCAA tournament conference wins by double digits. And they handled Northwestern. Next up for the Huskies, for the favorites, is a rematch against San Diego State. That's exciting. That's intriguing. In their same bracket, Illinois and Iowa State. So that region is playing at TD Garden in Boston. So UConn's played in Brooklyn, round of 64, round of 32, and now they're playing at the Garden of TD. Can't confuse the other Garden in Boston. So the East region, I mean, UConn's been so close to home, and they'll continue to be, which I think we'll see them roll against San Diego State. And then Illinois-Iowa State's going to be an amazing matchup. Illinois just got Terrence Shannon Jr. He's so good. He's so smooth. And Iowa State just has so many guys you just don't know anything about, quite frankly, that play play great as a unit, play great defense, and get up in your grill. So Illinois-Iowa State, who knows? I mean, but I confidently say UConn. Right below them in the West region, they're playing these games in L.A., Crypto.com Arena, where the Clippers and Lakers are. North Carolina and Alabama and Clemson, Arizona. So maybe Arizona's got more fans, if you want to look at it that way, but they also have a lot of enemies in L.A. because UCLA hasn't been able to beat them lately, and quite frankly, anyone in the Pac-12. So North Carolina against Alabama, it's going to be interesting because we always say, oh, Alabama, high pace, high octane. They just go, score so many points. But now, you know, now these teams have 4 days to scout. And there's a lot of good coaches and great players all throughout this tournament. North Carolina checks both those boxes. So it's really just going to be a great game. I don't know. North Carolina is the better team, but Alabama's offense, if it clicks, if it, you know, doesn't beat themselves, they put up points. Given that, you know, saying that though, Alabama against Grand Canyon, weirdest game ever. They pulled away. Grand Canyon couldn't make a free throw. Both teams were just out of control. Like, just nonstop running, one-on-one ball, bad shot selection. It was just a sugar high of basketball. Man, it just had your head spinning. Clemson, Arizona. Clemson's been playing great with basketball. I think, though, it's going to fizzle out. They're cooling down. Because you win the round of 64, you have 24, 36 hours till your next game. So the teams, you know, have a one-day scout on you. And we saw that with Utah State, a one-day scout on all the, I mean, every team that's playing is minimum on a one-game win streak. The vibes are great. But for Utah State's sake, man, a one-day scout, and you have to go up against Zach Edey, a guy that you've never played anyone like him before. And it's tough. But Arizona doesn't get that one-day scout. They get 4 days, and they're playing in L.A. They had a chance to go back home. I'm sure everyone did, but I think Arizona's going to lock this down. And let's be real, Caleb Love has his sights set on playing against his former school. I don't really think there's bad blood. He just went for a new opportunity. When you're a star, why not go to a different college, meet new people, get coached differently, which can make you learn more things, increase your basketball IQ, live in a new city, have some new experiences, new homies, new girls, new sponsors, new family friends. It's just a new adventure. I don't really think he has bad blood. But of course, you know, for the storyline and for the experience playing your former team, Arizona versus North Carolina, that's what we all want to see. And I think it very likely could happen. And I mean, not a crazy prediction by me is they're the favorites. The 1 and 2 seed, you know, are supposed to beat the 4 seed and 6 seed respectively on paper. So that will be exciting. So we got games Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, Elite Eight. So get through today and tomorrow, and then Thursday is going to be scrumptious. Flip flop over other side, the South, Houston versus Duke, and then NC State versus Marquette. Houston versus Duke. Houston learned a few lessons against Texas A&M as they didn't close out that game. And credit Texas A&M making some tough shots. But Houston fouling a guy with under a minute to go on a three recipe to destroy your lead. And then with 1.2 seconds left, just got to protect the perimeter. Texas A&M, though, executed. And, I mean, the guy just made an unbelievable shot. But Houston, with that adversity, you know, a little bit of foolishness on their part, some luck by Texas A&M, and some clutchness by the Aggies, brought that game in overtime. But Houston still took care of business. Houston won the game, and four of their five starters fouled out. I mean, you gotta give yourself some props for that. You overcame some adversity there. But if they play the way they did against Texas A&M like that versus Duke, they're in trouble. Texas A&M missed a lot of free throws. Duke's going to make their free throws. And the way Jared McCain shot that ball against James Madison, oh my goodness. I mean, these Duke guys, they've played in big gyms all their lives. They've been phenoms, you know, since their sophomore, junior years of high school. They like, you know, the bigger the crowd, the better. So Houston, I still like Houston winning. They're so sound defensively, but, you know, Duke, they know how to work their way around a good defense. So it could go either way. What would be, I mean, all these matchups are exciting, but Duke NC State would actually be very, very interesting matchup, because NC State beat Duke in the ACC tournament, and everyone was like, oh, wow, NC State beat Duke. Duke had a couple of byes. They took second in the conference, and then, oh, wow, they lost to NC State. And then as we see how time went, well, NC State just rolled through everybody, won 7 games in 12 days. That's remarkable. That's really impressive stuff, and maybe their Cinderella can keep going as they play against 2-seed Marquette. So NC State, the only double-digit seed left. Man, they've been playing some good ball. They got two DJs and the big boy Escalade, DJ Burns. That guy is so fun to watch. He's so sound, and he's like Vince Wilfork down there with some touch. And he's lefty. He's got a lot going for him, and he ain't afraid of anybody. They're playing those games where the Mavericks play, American Airlines Center in Dallas. So, I mean, maybe there's more Houston fans as the trip's a lot shorter compared to these other schools, but everyone's going to travel, and you also just have a lot of passionate basketball fans that just want a good game and aren't necessarily rooting for a certain team. But Marquette plays some great defense. I mean, half the time, head coach Shaka Smart's on the floor as their sixth man playing some defense because he can't stay in that coach's box. So it will be interesting. NC State, they'll be ready to go. I think NC State Marquette might be the lowest scoring game this Sweet 16. It's going to be just a dogfight. But Tyler Kolick, he's had an oblique problem. He didn't play in the Big East tournament. He's played in all these NCAA tournament games, but I think these couple of days are going to be good for him to be ready to go. You know, as you just look at him, or as he comes out of the bus, out of the plane, he doesn't look like he's going to light you up, but he's an incredible playmaker. Finishing it off to the Midwest, they're playing in Detroit, Little Caesars Arena, Purdue versus Gonzaga, and Creighton versus Tennessee. And once again, Gonzaga, oh, yeah, yeah, Sweet 16, like clockwork. They're playing against Purdue. They've got some time to really game plan against Zach Edey. But as many analysts have said, you know, last year's Purdue, and they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson, was just Zach Edey. The Boilermakers equal Zach Edey. This year, though, the Boilermakers equal back-to-back player of the year, Zach Edey, but also some super talented guards, you know, Braden Smith and Foyer. These guys... You guys do some amazing things, or lawyer, excuse me. You can't just crash on Zach Edey. He can kick it out to more than capable shooters. I mean, it's going in. And what Utah State's problem was is they fouled Zach Edey too much. I mean, he's going to get his. There's just some times where he's going to get to his spot. He's just going to get an easy dunk. And you can't foul him. You can't hack a Shaq. You can't hack Zach Edey because he hits his free throws. So it's not, oh, we'll foul him and he'll only make one or zero and it'll end up being a defensive stop. The sacrifice of the foul will be worth it. With him, it's not. With him, you just get in foul trouble and you start trailing because he hits his free throws. So you might as well just give him the open look if he has it. don't just clobber him, because your guy will be in foul trouble and you didn't prevent a bucket because he hits his free throws. So you got your hands full there, but Mark Few is just unbelievable. He's so good. He could go to bigger schools. He loves his time at Gonzaga, job security. I mean, there's no shot he's going anywhere. He loves it there. They love him because he continues to produce. Gonzaga hasn't won a championship yet, but they continue to just be such a solid squad. So anything could happen there as the spotlight gets bigger. In the last few years, Purdue's been pressured, and they've had some clunky outcomes, as we all know. In their last few years, North Texas lost to them, Fairleigh Dickinson, another team I can't think of, but it's been tough. They're trying to prove it wrong, but the Midwest has all these conferences, regions are great, but the Midwest as well is going to, I think, be two excellent games. As the other one, Creighton, Tennessee, I mean, great coaches, great teams, great transfer players. Dalton Connect from Northern Colorado, now on the Volunteers, amazing. And these guards from Creighton have done well. They got Kyle Brenner, who's just so great at tracking on defense. His help defense is amazing. Gets so many blocks, and he's wonderful. Creighton, a little shaky, though. Lacks some poise offensively. Had some foolish turnovers. And, man, if Oregon was a two-man army, if they had a third guy that could have made a few extra shots, they would have upset the Blue Jays. Creighton didn't play their best game, but they still survived, and I think they're going to learn a lot from that. You know, Houston and Creighton were really the two teams that are still in the tournament that survived. I mean, NC State did win in overtime, but, I mean, they're an 11 seed, so you just, with that, label them as, a survivor every game. But Houston and Creighton both survived in overtime, and you can learn a lot from those wins, just how to not put yourself in that position once again. But, I mean, I sometimes want to be different, want to, take the shot in the dark and make a crazy projection, but I just don't think it's the year for that. UConn's so sound. Their coach is amazing. Their bench is deep. And, I mean, you can't name a lot of UConn guys, but they're all just solid. But Cam Spencer is a great facilitator for them. And their big man, see, as I improve my point, I can't remember his name, had a double-double in the first half, just like Zach Edey did in their round of 32 win. So until the Huskies lose, or maybe win by single digits, as they've won 8 straight tournament games by double digits, maybe I'll change my thinking. But that's what I have for now. So that's our preview for the Sweet 16 of the men's basketball side. If we have time tomorrow, we'll come up with another episode about the women's basketball. But they've got some super exciting stuff going on, some great storylines, and just great players. The three best players in women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, well, all three of their teams are still in this tourney. And all four of the one seeds are in for the men and in for the women. And we'll see if that can be true once we reach the Elite Eight and the Final Four. But thanks for tuning in. I'm sure your bracket's busted. If it's not, that's interesting. But it's got to be busted at this point. But check out, I know ESPN does it. I'm sure other sites do it, but you can do it the second chance bracket, pick the Sweet 16 correctly. I mean, even though it's 16 teams, the amount of outcomes that can happen are still so high.